Psalm 85. If you notice the superscription, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. I'll talk about that in just a second. But then in verse 5 especially, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? And here's what's on my heart. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You may be seated. The psalm, we really do not know who wrote it. And we don't even know for sure the circumstances for certain. There's many suggestions, many opinions. To be honest, my opinion is about as good as any. But there are many, and I sort of lean in this direction, that believe that this psalm was written after God's people came back from the Babylonian captivity. There's mentioning, I read a verse about the anger of God. If you notice in the superscription, as I said, the psalm is for the sons of Korah. Even that speaks of mercy. It literally is, this psalm was written and given to a group of singers in the tabernacle. Later on, they'd sing it in the temple. Other people would sing it in other places. This was a song that was sung, we'll say like this, in church by God's people. And the sons of Korah in themselves is interesting. If you remember back in Moses' day, Moses was following God. And as happened so many times, somebody didn't like the way he ran things. So a man named Korah began to rebel and resist, and he got some followers. The time finally came when God said to Moses, you divide the people and you tell people who are for you to stand on one side, and you tell Korah and those that are for him to stand on the other side and to separate themselves from you. And Moses stood there under God's direction, and he says, if these people, Korah and all his people, all those who are against God's will, all those that get upset about how things are run, he said, if they die a regular death, that proves they were right. But if something unusual happens, if the earth opens up and swallows them, you'll find out they were wrong. And about that time, the earth opened up, and Korah and all those who followed him was taken straight down to the heart of the earth, right before all of God's people. And here we find years later, the sons of Korah, somehow in the midst of all that judgment, you see, their granddaddy, great-granddaddy, Korah, had rebelled against God's people and God's work, and yet somehow God had spared some people from his family. So in the midst of judgment, hey, in the midst of judgment, we find God's mercy. And here's these descendants in church singing for the glory of God. And this psalm was given to them to sing. But in this psalm, again, we find, I believe, the time when God has brought his people back from Babylonian captivity. For 70 years they've been in Babylon. For 70 years they more or less have worked as slaves. For 70 years they have been captive. They have been slaves. They have been told what to do, when to do it, what not to do, and when not to do it. For 70 years they have been under bondage. But now God is delivering his people. And little by little they're coming back to the homeland. Little by little they're coming back to the promised land God had given them. And they had experienced and were experiencing God's mercy. They had been in captivity, but God has delivered them from that. He has been good. His mercy has been poured out. And this morning we'd have to say God has been good to us. if you're saved, you have been set free from the bondage of sin. All of our sin has been dealt with at Calvary. But just like these people, we need to cry to the Lord, "Oh God, you have been good, but we still need you. You have helped us, but we still need your help." And in the midst of this prayer, the midst of this psalm, the psalmist cries out, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" They had been set free from captivity. That's behind them. And they're in the homeland. But they need God to do something in their hearts. Being away from Babylon, as wonderful as that was, it didn't do much for their heart. Being in the homeland, as wonderful as that was, it didn't do much for their heart. So the psalmist is saying, "I thank you for what you've done. You have been good to us, but we're crying out for revival. We're crying out for you to move. We're crying out for you to help our hearts." And that should be our cry this morning. Not just because we're starting a revival tomorrow night, but because we are starting a revival tomorrow night. There ought to be a desire in our heart that our prayer should be, "Oh God, have mercy on us. Oh God, stir your people again. Oh God, wilt thou not revive us? Will you not help us? Will you not have mercy? Will you not forgive our sin and help us to walk with you?" Revival is exactly what it sounds like. To be rekindled. To set ablaze. The fire has grown down and is stirred to action. The flames burn again. The fire is rekindled. The desire to serve God is set ablaze again. The hunger for the things of God, the love for Him, a desire to serve Him, a desire to do His will, a love for God's people, a love for God's house, a desire to do His will and let Him work through us, a love for the Word of God, a desire to know it better and live it more thoroughly. That's what revival is. And friend, I want to tell you something. There have been times when revival would be nice. I know a lot of times, in fact, all the time, to have a stir of revival would be nice. Just kind of help you along, make you feel better, help you enjoy the serving of the Lord. There are times when revival is nice. There's times when revival is needed. I want to tell you something, there's been times I needed God to do something for me. I needed something that only He could do. There have been times our church needed something that only God could do. There's times our nation has needed something that only God can do. But I want to tell you, we're past the time for revival being nice. And we're way past the time for revival being needed. We have come to the point where revival is necessary. We must have revival to survive. I'm preaching this morning on revival for survival. Revival for survival. If we're going to make it, we need a fresh touch from Him. If this church and other churches like us are going to make it through, we must have revival. If our nation is to survive, do you understand the trouble our nation is in? Do you have any idea how far we are from God and America's proud of it? But what about our churches? The average church, and could I just say it right up front, we're about as average as I know of. The average Baptist church, and that's where I'm from, and that's where I'm going to stay. The average Baptist church is so cold and callous and unconcerned and satisfied and content. I want to tell you, if we're going to survive, we've got to have revival. It's past being nice. It's past being needed. It is necessary for us to survive. We must have revival. There is no other option. There is no other hope. Where else can we turn but Him? In fact, that's exactly what the psalmist said. Will thou? He looks to God. Wonder why? In verse 1, he starts out, Lord. He knows who he's talking to. And he knows what he's talking about. Because he knows what they need. Our only hope is a touch from God. Our only hope is that he might in mercy move on us. He can let us go on. He'll still be God. He'll still love us. He can leave us alone and let us trudge on in our satisfaction and our contention if we so choose. But he also can hear a people who cry to him and can move in mercy and send revival. The revival comes from him or it doesn't come. I promise you, it is not our formula. It is not if I will pray a certain time and if I'll do a certain thing and I do a certain thing that guarantees revival. There is no such guarantee. There is no such formula. I understand 2 Chronicles 7:14. I may mention that before I get done. But I want to tell you there is no super duper easy formula. Revival comes from Him. And if He doesn't bring it, if He doesn't send it, it will not come. He is our only hope. Now, if I want a garden hose, I can go to Walmart or Kmart or a hardware store. And I have all kinds of choices of getting all kinds of garden hoses. And I can buy it and go home and be happy. If I have a need for a car and I want to get another car, I can go to the Toyota place or the Chevrolet place or the Ford place. I can go anywhere I want to, and within the limits of money I have, I can buy any car I want and I can go home and be relatively happy. But I want to tell you something. If we're wanting revival, there's only one place to go. There's only one place it comes from. It comes from Him. It comes from God or it does not come. I want to tell you something. Our hope is not in the White House. If it is, you in scary times, I'll tell you that. Because what we got running this time ain't much. But I am so glad my hope, my dependency, what I'm needing doesn't come from the White House. It comes from Him. I want to tell you, we can change America morally and do little or no good. You can close the bars, the strip joints, the red light district, go down to the middle of town and get rid of all the drug trade, and it'll help America look better, but it will be no better. It will not change the heart of America. What we need is revival in our homes, in our families, in our churches, in our country, in our world. The only hope we have is for the God of heaven to smile on us with revival. It comes from Him. But what if He's angry at us? This is what the psalmist is saying. Now they were out of captivity. They were in the homeland again. A lot to be thankful for, a lot that God had done. But in the midst of all the good things, he still cries, oh God, will you revive us again? He's saying, are you going to be angry with us forever? You have forgiven us about our disobedience that sent us to captivity. And all that's in the past. But there's still things you're displeased with. There's still things that make you frown. There's still things that break your heart. God, will you please deal with us? Will you help us? Will you show us? Will you have mercy on us? You're our only hope. The only hope we have is revival, and the only hope of revival is you. So if the only one that can send revival is angry at me, what am I going to do? Let's look at that. He talks about confessing. He talks about forgiveness. He talks about turning back to the Lord. I ask you this right now. Is revival possible? I mean, are we wasting our time? Do we need to just call Brother Frankie and just say, put it on hold? No need in running the lights. No need in paying you. No need in having all the singers come in. No need in wasting everybody's time to come. Are we wasting our time? Is revival possible? Well, I sure hope you realize it is. Revival. Here's what he said. Wilt thou revive us? Will you? You're my only hope. My only hope is revival. Nothing else will help me. Nothing else will help my family. Nothing else will help my church. Nothing else will help my country. You are my only hope. You're my only hope, and revival is my only hope. But will you? Will you? Is it possible? And the answer, of course, is yes. I am so glad God is still interested in His people. This is still His church. This ain't my church. This isn't your church. It's God's church. And He's still interested in His work in this day, as late as it is, as dark as it is, as bad as it is. He's still willing. He's still able. He's still ready. It's okay if you say amen every once in a while, okay? Just every once in a while. It's not against the rules. You can say, oh, me, amen. And you can say, oh, me too, if you want to. It ought to stir our hearts when somebody says we can still have revival enough to say amen a little bit. I don't think we've gone too far. I don't think the day's too late. I'll be honest, I've been rethinking this thing about America. I used to say, I think it's too late for our country. Because we've gone too far and because what prophecy said, and maybe so. But I've been rethinking this thing lately. I don't think America's beyond the hope of revival. Revival comes at the darkest time. Revival comes when sin is common. Sin is accepted. Sin is welcomed. Anybody who says anything against sin gets mocked at. I went by Bojangles this morning, gave the little girl a track, and she smirked at me. I rode off and I said, Lord, please let that track be a good remembrance for her one day. Let her think back to that old fat preacher that came by on Sunday morning and gave her a track and said, I'm so glad he did, because eventually she'll get saved. I hope one day in hell she didn't remember that track in misery and regret. But that's the attitude of the world, mocking and smirking at God and His people, but that is still not too far for God. It's dark, but it's not too dark. I promise you something, our churches are in bad shape. If you don't have your head stuck in the sand, you'd have to say our churches are in bad shape. Hey, we just will not talk about the world. Don't talk about San Francisco. Don't talk about Charlotte. If we can't even get here to pray on the morning of revival, we better not talk about them. We better talk about us. We better talk about us. But I want to ask you, have we gone too far? Have we grieved God so much that He'll not hear our cry? I don't think so. The darker it is, the more we need revival, and the greater God wants to work. Wilt thou? Oh God, will you? We don't deserve it, but we need it. And it's become more than nice and more than needed. It's necessary to survive. I must have revival. For this church to survive, we got to have revival. You know what survival is, right? Survival is staying alive when all odds are against you. Survival is staying alive when all odds are against you. And if that's not where we're living spiritually, I don't know where we're living. But He has what we need. And He'll do what we need. If. Will thou revive us? Hey, did you hear what I just said? Will thou revive us? It ain't the world right now I'm burned about. It's me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. If you don't help me, I cannot struggle on. I cannot go on in my own strength. I cannot face another church service with just my power and us little, our little intellect and our ability. I want you to do something. I need you to do something. I must have you do something in me. Will thou not revive us? Raise your hand, please. Everybody raise your hand. Just real quick. Okay, if you raised your hand or if you didn't, that's who I'm talking about. Will thou not revive us? The people of revival are God's people. You know why? Because we need it. Will thou not revive us again? It isn't the first time. It is not the first time. He has done it before, but I need it again. I leak. I'm flesh. Rick still lives in here. Bill still lives in you. Susie still lives in you. And our old flesh craves the things of the world, craves ease, selfish. And the only hope is that God somehow might overcome that in me and you and in our church. That's the possibility of revival. That's the people of revival. We're talking about us. We're talking about me. We're talking about you. And He is still able. D.M. Haddon said this, "It is a foolish blunder to suppose that any age can be too evil for revival." He's saying, it's not too dark yet. We haven't gone too far yet. But revival starts in me. Hey, if no one gets revival but you, that's a pretty good start. If my people, which are called by my name, we can talk about the world. We're the one that needs revival. We're the light of the world. Not a mockery. Not a disgrace. But a light and salt. Did you hear what He said? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? Is that really what He meant to say? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Now, many people think the surface part of that statement is what revival is. Somebody come in, boost us up, pick us up, get us excited. I'll say amen when I don't usually do. I'll shout when I don't usually do. I get all excited. I get all thrilled. I'm all happy all of a sudden now. And 2 days later, I'm right back where I was. But most people think that's what revival is. That we may rejoice. I want to ask you a question. Is that really? No, don't answer because I'm tricking you. I don't usually warn you. You know that. Is that really what revival is? That we may rejoice? Yes and no. He said not to rejoice in the blessings. God gave me a new car. God gave me health. The report was good. I got a new friend. I got a new job. I got a promotion. We can rejoice about the blessings, but He talks about rejoicing about the blesser. That we may rejoice in Him. Everybody can't do that. You doubt that? Let me give you this example. I get a little out of joint with God. This is a suppose, okay? And it has happened before, to be honest. More times than I want to say. I get a little out of joint. God, come to church. Everybody here having a good time, rejoicing, praising God. I'm sitting there dead as 4 o'clock. Why? Because the Spirit wasn't moving? Oh, no. Because I'm out of joint with God. I can't rejoice in Him when I'm out of joint. Got a little jealousy in my heart. I won't rejoice when I come to the church. I can read my Bible and get nothing. I can pray and do no good. I can witness. I can talk about the good things of God and it'll be empty. Dead. Just words. Everybody can't rejoice in Him. If there's something in our lives that hinders Him, if there's something in our lives that's displeasing to Him, I promise you, we will not rejoice in Him. He'll make sure we don't. Because there's a hindrance in that flow of the Spirit. So I can say, like the psalmist said, wilt thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Yes, may you get us where we can rejoice with all our hearts, and it be real. And that happens when we take a good look inside, and the list likes out there, and examine ourselves, and anything He shows us, we get right. Because that frees up. Man, next time you come to church, boy, I'll tell you what, everybody else can be dead. You're rejoicing. Whole congregation can say, why did I come? You're enjoying God. My goodness, we need a revival. It's become more than nice. It's always nice to have revival. Oh, it's more than needed. It's necessary. I'm telling you, it's revival for survival. But what do? Well, verse 4 tells us a little bit. Turn us, O God of our salvation. It literally means to turn back. It is as though God is facing this way, away from us, and He has turned, and He's saying, I want to do you good things. We're looking this way, and He says, turn around where we can be face to face. Turn again. Simplified, that means whatever He shows you, get it right. Hey, look and see what it says in verse 9, or verse 8. I will hear what the Lord God will speak. That's the beginning of revival. Go to Him. Quiet yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to pray through you, the Holy Spirit in you, praying to the Father, and then listen. Stop talking and listen. Say, Father, speak to me what I need to hear, and then listen. He said, I will listen to God. It also says He'll speak peace to me. He'll always tell us the thing that'll help us if we'll listen. Most people are too scared to do that. Afraid what He might say. I promise you, whatever He says will be good. It may hurt. He may point the very thing in your life you don't want to deal with. But if that's what's hindering you from revival, it's not worth holding on to. I got this. It may be what's in your life that you won't let go of may hinder this entire church from having revival this week. You think that ain't possible? Read your Bible. Look at Achan. Look at Korah. Boy, we need to as a church. We need to as individuals. Say, Father, speak to me. Show me. Well, I want to tell you, Brother Brian hit it on the nail head. He talked about God came when they praised, when they started praising Him. But we can't praise through a dirty heart. B.R. Lakin said this, you can preach through a dirty heart, you can sing through a dirty heart, you can even witness through a dirty heart. He said you can't pray through a dirty heart. That's true. I'll add something. We will never praise through a dirty heart. Because it hinders. And praise is what brings Him.
moving in His people. The pursuit of revival. Going after God. Hosea said it like this, seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground, that old hard ground that hasn't been plowed, that's gotten so crusty and so hard. Break her in. Bust it up. That old hard, cold heart that you haven't let God touch and penetrate for so long, let Him get through. Listen to Him. Allow God to speak. Verse 8, the last part, and I'm about done. But let them not turn away to folly. You know what the word folly means? Silliness. Literally, stupidity. He is saying this. Here's a group of people who knew God, and their sin has brought them to captivity for 70 years. Now God has delivered them from the captivity and set them free. And the psalmist is saying, don't let us do something so stupid again. When you speak, help me to listen. Help me not to turn from You again. Help us not to shun You again. Help us not to ignore You again. Here's what God says. Listen closely. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Revival comes from Him. For some who are here, there's no doubt. You need to go to Him and ask Him for the desire. Right now, you're not interested. God hasn't even brought you to the point to where you even care that much. But if somehow He can open your eyes this morning to get you to see the need, the necessity, the importance, to see what it's going to cost. If we don't have revival, what's Connor going to do? What's Olivia going to do? What's these girls going to do? We older folks that we talk about knowing God, I just wonder how much we do know, but what are they going to do? What hope do they have if we don't get a hold of God? I mean, honest. We are to the point where it's revival for survival. For some, you need to say, oh God, my heart's hard, and I know that's wrong. I want You to tenderize my heart and help me, give me the desire. Give me the desire. Give me the willingness. For some, God's touched your heart to a point to where you want to just say again, God, revive me. Revive this church. Let this week be real. I believe there's somebody here, more than somebody, more than one. It's not revival you need, it's regeneration. You need to be saved. Mindy, come ahead. Go ahead and start playing. I want to tell you, God's here this morning to help some folks. There's some people here, maybe you've made a profession. This is the most important part of the service. Please, listen. There's some folks here, you've said you're saved, but this morning God showed you you're not. I beg you, come right now. There's some folks, you know you're not saved. Come and accept Christ right now. You'll never be sorry. For you who are saved, will you just start that first step? Will you come and say, God, speak to me? Will you hear Him? Will you listen to Him? Will you come to Him and say, God, speak to me? I need revival. My family needs revival. This church needs revival. Our country needs revival. We need help from You. You're our only hope. You're our only hope. You're our only hope. If God doesn't touch your heart, fine. Sit back down. But I want to ask you a question. Why isn't He touching your heart? Are you so hard that He's quit speaking? Well, I want to tell you that's so serious. Please come this morning. Oh, what God could do, what God's able to do, what He wants to do in your heart, in your family, in your life. That lost loved one may get saved if you'll get right. This church could be set on fire if some people would really get serious. Well, I want to tell you, we need a touch. We need Him. We need Him. We need Him. And He's willing and He's able. He's ready. Will you come? Call out to Him. I believe there's some people God's dealing with. And you haven't come yet. Will you step out? Will you come on? Please, if you're lost, will you come this morning? I'll take a Bible and show you how you can get saved. You can go out free.
You can go out forgiven. You can go out heading to heaven. Will you please come? Will you mind the Lord this morning? Will you come?